You've been wasting your time and money entering film festivals. Let's change that.
I haven't been wasting my time. I mean, I am broke, and all I got was a PNG of a Laurel.
The Liget Film Festival uses people with an audience to help poor dummies like that get actual exposure for their films.
Stop calling me dumb.
Entering the Liget Film Festival allows influencers to spread the word on your films. If you enter other festivals, you are dumb.
Seriously, I'm not dumb.
I don't speak dumb. But if I did, I would tell that guy that winning films and podcasts will be featured on our Rizzle, TikTok, and Instagram channels that total in the hundreds of thousands of fans watching.
I'm not dumb. One time I used a toothbrush in the wrong direction, but that has nothing to do with my film career.
Enter your films into the world's largest film festival today. Liget Film Fest. Do you want to start with, I forget where we stopped last time. Do you want to start with Immoral Michael? Just get into it?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
On this show, we occasionally have moral situations and quandaries for us to contemplate. This is Immoral Michael. This is moral scenario number 9. Now, I want to ask you while I'm reading these, welcome to Hack Thought. I'm Mike Falick, my co-host, Bill Moore.
Okay.
I have been, from a sci-fi point of view, these are the actual number of them, and it only skips a number if I erased one. Is it funnier if we have fake numbers, like in Star Trek, World 24. It's like, is it World 24, Gene? Roddenberry, is it? Let me know, Bill, what you think about that. Okay.
Yeah.
But this is moral scenario number 9. And this is where Michael pauses to figure out what he wrote.
No, it's for dramatic effect, clearly. Can only be for dramatic effect.
This is before I actually just recently changed my handwriting. This is before that.
Really? What? Okay. What? I want to learn more about that because I didn't know that was a thing that like people. I mean, I can believe people do it, but it's like, oh, interesting. Okay.
I'm getting to the whole art thing of it after I read because I figured out what the word is. Okay.
Yeah.
Mortal scenario number 9. It turns out your home is one of several interdimensional mirrors. There exists several life forms in the same metaphysical space, doing the exact same thing that you are. Do you need explanation?
Help? I don't think so. So yeah, basically, like, so in my they're
in
basic,
your house.
Yeah, okay. In my house, there's basically multiple me's in a similar situation to myself.
No. This is what I thought. So effectively, these life forms and creatures could be all sorts of different things living in other dimensions. But while you're in your house, they have in their dimension the exact same house and they're doing the exact same thing. The rest of their life, they do other different interdimensional stuff. But like, and they might even be shaped different than you or whatever. But when you're in that house, you're doing they're existing in the exact same space and time as you. So like when you get up out of bed, they're getting up out of bed.
Okay.
Everything is about the same shape. About.
Okay.
You know. Little like the different skin. Does it change your world?
I'm thinking. It's like, hmm. I mean, I'm sure it must, because just to officially know that like they're like effectively, I guess there's a form of, there's like a, I guess, what is it? Like an entity that takes up my kind of space at the same time that there is like an identical being. But I feel like, so I guess like, I don't know. Like obviously knowing that there's officially other dimensions there is like, okay, yeah, wow. Like I've heard about this in stories and now it's real knowing that there's like other dimensions out there, and there's one that's like, oh, that's effectively, I guess, the me of that dimension, just because like it's patterned after, like, yeah, like, or I'm patterned after it, or we're on the same, what is it, like temporal movement or something of like,
yeah, just in your house though.
Just so like,
yeah, the actions they're doing, they might even be like different theoretical actions. Like, so right now in the other dimension, there's a creature sitting at a desk talking into a listening device, but like they could be talking to, you know, secret jet planes traveling above their head.
Yeah. So also in that case, is it like, is it just that like, where does the action start from? Like, is it one of those that like, are we just like all of us subconsciously like have the same, like, yeah, everybody today was planning on going to their listening device. And it just happened to be that like, whatever being we technically are through the dimensions, like all of us in our minds, on this day, we're planning on dealing with our listening device. Is that it? Or is it like one of us the start of it? Because I'd almost feel bad where it's like, oh, hey guys, I was doing a podcast. Sorry, other me's.
So now you are doomed to podcast.
Or it's like, sorry, other me's. Oh no, actually, I thought it was my fault. I was going to be listening to, I was listening to radio signals. Oh, okay, it's okay, other me. Well, no, it's okay, other me.
Like, I'm in the movie Contact. I'm talking to my dad, who's a fireman in the 1960s.
Except far less interesting. Isn't that frequency, you mean? Because frequency
is...
Yes,
it is frequency. I'm sorry.
Dennis Quaid would be sad. You have sad Quaid now. No,
Saddest Quaid!
But so it's like, instead of like, you know, that one's got drama of you're listening to your dad from the 60s, this would just be other us's. Hey, sorry, I was doing a radio thing. Ah, it's okay. I'm really sorry. I was going to make food later. I don't really want to make food later. Well, I was going to make food later. Well, that means we all have to make food later. Like, it's going to be a lot
some green see-through version of you angrily making rice. Like, I don't even rice.
Yeah, it's going to be like, yeah, a lot of apologizing through the dimensions. until one of our respective partners is like, oh, one of you's got to shut up, and then it ruins all of
our lives. Well, I'll put that in there too, is that like they're all doing, you know, like you couldn't have so not to ruin the bit, but now that we're getting to the serious nature here, which is the moral quandary, you would never be able to have any conversation because you'd always be talking at the same time.
Okay.
Because whenever you start to talk, they would start to talk.
Yeah.
So in theory, you could hear each other by talking over each other.
Well, would we be able to? Because wouldn't we technically be speaking at the same exact time all the time?
Yeah. It's interesting because language didn't factor into my creating this moral scenario. Like in my mind, it's really the physical actions. So yeah. It's an interesting thing. Like, so whenever you open your mouth and vibrate something in your throat, so do they, but that might do something different in their world, mm-hmm. you know, to the world. It might not be their language. One thing that I think is interesting, I always like to break down your subconscious and where you go and, you know, sort of analyze you and like, are you thinking about your winky or your butthole, which is what Freud would ask. I would love if I could get Freud to say winky, I'm trying to really figure out. We haven't really talked about time travel in these moral Michaels, but like, that's one of them. Like, okay, while we're at it here, do you Google swear words? Cause I still do.
I mean, I don't Google swear words, but I do Google random words.
Just Google shit. Every device I go on, I Google swear words. I put in the search bar swear words.
I Google like colloquialisms or like Urban Dictionary stuff, but it's like I'll frequently do that of like, all right, this word, but I don't just I haven't.
See, you're doing what I think people are nowadays is everyone's too smart. It's not about figuring stuff out. Like if I like I posted this on Instagram the other day, like I just searched bullshit in I think it was Grubhub in the app. See what they say for bull. Like, I just, whatever device I'm on, I will search like poop, shit, fuck, just because, like, that's the most fun thing in the world. It doesn't have to be functional. Just type it in and see what happens. It's pretty great. Have you ever typed porn into the App Store? You know, the Apple App Store?
I have not.
Mostly. You get a very interesting array because obviously they don't have porn on there. But it's a pretty interesting array.
Yeah, because I was kind of like, I would almost be afraid of what, like, yeah, what what they don't allow, and what other minor apps try to like sneak in there.
Here's the thing: is that a human does review all the apps for the App Store, and it's just like. So the biggest, the funniest one is like there are erotic audio apps, but then like literally all the reviews are like obviously Apple doesn't allow porn on the Apple Store, so like all the content like stops at the point where it gets erotic. So it's just like so all the reviews are just like this is a person vaguely talking sexily for a little bit, and then by the time something sexual starts to happen, it's like bye. And that's the end of the story.
Now I was almost imagining because the way you initially said that, I was kind of like, it's like, here's Moby Dick, read erotically.
Call me Ishmael.
Congrats. 1984, erotically.
The Bible is evil. I forget how. I hate 1984. I think it's heavy handed. Anyway. I don't think that people should go to school because that's all you... Listen, if you want to make a Call Me Ishmael reference, you don't need to go to school because I never read that book in school and you will never read Moby Dick in school. Okay, so wait. The interesting thing here is you went right to free will, which has come up a lot in these moral scenarios. So in your mind, you went to the idea that you guys are controlling each other or that you're connected on some Freudian, Jungian subconscious?
Yeah, I was kind of wondering if, that was my initial question is it just like, do we all like that in the trajectory of all of our beings' lives that was in the plan, or does it somewhat stem from one of the beings of like, one of the beings makes the decision to do it, which then affects all everybody, even if we don't realize it, it's just like, it's then in the subconscious mainstream. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah, so the zeitgeist. Yeah, you're talking about literal Jungian unconscious.
Yeah, I was like, because I wanted to do podcasting, does it make every other one of them want to do the radio, like deal with the same listening device? Or is it just like in the overall, in all of our existences, that was the trajectory for whatever we consider Friday at 11, the weekend at like X period of time, late morning, like was that for all of us? So yeah, I was kind of curious where the thought stems from.
Yeah. Okay. So I hadn't thought of it that way, but so now I want to tell you what I had thought of, but first I want to hear what does that one make you think? So in your mind, I want to explain this just to be clear to the listener. In your mind, it's like that somehow you guys are connected mind wise and that something you share a collective consciousness that is maybe not identical, but like certain actions propel you to do certain things. So what would you think if that was the case?
That's the one where it's like, if there was any form of like, because I guess I can only officially speak for myself because like, as you said, like, I'm not like aware of the other ones, but if there is that idea, I'd be like, I don't, yeah, that was where that kind of that initial thought came in of like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. Some of them didn't want to actually do their listening device today. That was my plan because in this dimension, that was my plan for the day. That's what I was looking forward to. Maybe in the dimension 78-9C, they didn't want to be dealing with their listening device. They wanted to be like, I was going to go acquire food at that moment. I don't want to be doing my listening device kind of like, and not even know why of like, I should go to the listening device right now. I'm really hungry, but I need to go to the listening device.
This could explain these people who I've never felt this way, but there's these people who are wrapped with guilt that they spend time looking at their phone or their computer or watching TV, which is, before we get into the other thing, that's fake. Everybody, that's society making you feel guilty for doing something you like. But perhaps ignoring the real logical thing, maybe this explains like why people are feel like, oh, I didn't want to spend all that time on my phone. It's because the other interdimensional person in their house is like going through all these photos on Instagram. And you're just like, I don't want to be on Instagram right now. But then you end up spending like an hour on Instagram.
Because in some other dimension on their visual photo device, maybe it's actually important. Like maybe how like,
oh yeah, Yeah, it's like their medicine.
Cause like, yeah, because for us right now, it's like, I mean, this is the show we do. This is part of one of the jobs I consider I have. So this is important to me. But maybe, yeah, I'm like a couple dimensions away. It's just like, why am I on my listening device right now?
Looking at these scrolling like this? Meanwhile, the other guy's trying to find like his lost children.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to go through this lost children database. And you're just like, I guess eggs being mixed. This is how this guy makes soap. This is how this guy makes soap. This is how this guy makes soap. This is how they like. Isn't that so funny that that's like how all these like that isn't how any TV network works. Like, except for like really niche TV networks that are not nearly as big, but like Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all these things are like, what are you looking at? Like dinosaurs? Check out this dinosaur thing. Check out this dinosaur thing. Check out this dinosaur thing. Even Animal Planet and like Discovery Channel is like, we're only doing sharks for a week. And honestly, like 4 days. And honestly, like 3 TV shows a day about sharks and then go back to dirty jobs. Like nobody. But here's what I wanted to ask you about that point. Because I have this theory going on about doing things that you don't want to do or where your mind is controlled. And so this is as good a time as any to bring it up. Do you watch – now answer honestly, okay, because it's really important. This is like a survey because I have this theory on mankind. So something you said, it made me think of this to ask you. Do you watch CSI, any CSI?
I did.
Not have you seen it. Do you watch it?
Am I currently watching?
Do you know anything about the TV show CSI?
Yes.
In the sense that no, not listen. Okay. Listen for once. Do you know anything? Like, is there some point in your life where you could say you were a fan of the TV show CSI? Not that you have anything against it. Not that you don't know somebody who works on it. Not that you haven't seen episodes of it. That you are a fan of the TV show CSI.
Yes, there was a point of time I was a fan of the TV show CSI.
Damn it. Okay, blows up one of my theories. But you aren't now.
No, I mean, yeah, I have not. I am not an unfan, but I haven't watched it in like a decade.
Okay. Have you ever met anyone that watches CSI?
I can only not answer that question because it doesn't come up enough to be like.
Okay, so then you're not one of these people.
Episode of CSI, right? It used to be one that I talk about all the time. Like I want to say 8th grade to high school, that was like I at least had a buddy and I that would talk about it frequently. But like I haven't
okay.
watched CSI in easily since late high school.
I have this theory, so I can't take stats back then, but I have this theory. That like there are only two types of people in America, ones that watch CSI and ones that don't, and that all these divides over dumb shit in this country that the dumb people are listening or watching CSI at that current moment, because in theory you should meet someone like every day that watches CSI, but you should also meet someone every day that like is part of a hashtag cult or is part of something crazy, right? Like, but you don't like,
yeah.
So. I'm working on this theory. I just wanted to add, hey, everyone, chart and find out who watches CSI in the world. I need to know if this correlation has any, it works at all. If people watching CSI are like crazy, okay?
So I'm also just curious because like, why CSI? Because like technically, I mean, this is now going too nerdy. The core CSI franchise like ended like a couple of years ago.
Theoretically, CSI is one of the most popular TV shows in America.
Okay, yes.
And
okay,
I should be okay. meeting someone every day that watches it.
Okay. That like it's on their rotation, like it's like some people like there's The Office, there's CSI,
right.
There's The Simpsons.
No, okay. I mean there's current CSIs that are
like
on the air.
Do you mean like the NCS? Because there's like NCSI.
There's CSI. There's CSI C-Lab 2020. There's CSI Johnny Bravo. There's CSI the one where they did the races, wacky races. There's all the little CSIs. Those are still going on.
Are you talking about crime scene investigation?
What is going on here? CSI.
Yeah. Crime scene.
The TV show.
Yeah. The crime.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I made a joke to do it with Hanna-Barbera shows, but there's always CSI Venice, CSI.
I mean, what was it? CSI, the main one ended in 2015. New York ended in 2014.
There's CSI Jaguar right now. I know there is.
I mean, there's CSI Vegas is restarting. So, I mean, there's NCIS if you consider that in the same.
Is it?
Ish. It's kind of the CSI, but for the military. And if that's the case, then yeah, those are ongoing and we'll probably never die.
My whole point is, I don't know who's watching these shows. Anyway. Okay. So that's like interesting. Like you, the idea of feeling, well, okay. That's why I brought it up is because I think that the type of people who the part of my two types of people thing is like, there's these type of people that feel bad about every action we take. And we're constantly being like, did I do something bad there? Was I mean to that person? Oh, how can I do that better? Even when nothing went wrong. And then there's these types of people who are like, I don't care. Like, I'm just doing whatever in my life and I'm just moving on and like not caring. And I think that those are the CSI people. But now my theory is being blown up because Bill has seen them and Bill's not one of those types of people. So I'm working this theory out. Either way. Okay. So how I imagined it was actually a lot more, it shows your whatchamacallit. Let's ignore the CSI element for a second. If we can move on as a country. Your view on it is really interesting. You took it right away to be like free will, which is where these conversations go a lot. Like, am I controlling this other person? Are they controlling me? Are they whatever? And I thought of it as mostly like mechanical. My idea was that like, this was merely a interdimensional glitch amongst the world of coincidence, you know, that simply the rest of the world in their own dimensions interact and have their own Saturns that are different planets and whatever, and it's all over and everything's mishmashed and whatever. Your apartment though, it's not like you went right to Jet Li's The One, which obviously I know you've seen, but the audience is about Jet Li existing in all these other universes, and the him of that universe is differently abled, and there's an evil time bandit coming for him. Is really
that's the best also way him.
To say it. That's also him, and somehow they share kung fu abilities. is one okay? Let me explain the movie Jet Li's The One, because that may be why me and Bill are so apt to answer this question right away. Okay, so in Jet Li's The One, you live in other. Correct me if I'm wrong, because Bill, I broke a laptop at one point, or my laptop broke at one point, and it had a DVD player in it, and my copy of Jet Li's The One, which I'm not saying it like, oh, Jet Li's in it. The name of the movie is Jet. It's like Lee Daniels the butler. Like the name of the movie is Jet Li's The One. As the other yous of the other dimensions die for some reason, then you become more powerful. Yeah. And seemingly that power is kung fu ability.
He's being able to use wires and do kung fu.
So as like, and then there's this criminal who's one of the Jet Li's that is aware, is in the dimension where there exists these cops that patrol the dimensions, and he is like a rogue interdimensional cop who's going to kill his other hims to become, spoiler alert, Satan is, I think, his plan. Something I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think his plan is to become Satan, because at one point they go to the Satan world and he's Satan. But when he kills the other hims, they become more powerful in kung fu-ness. And I don't understand it. Anyway, that wasn't really what I had envisioned. I envisioned more that these creatures just happen to, you know, mechanically be doing the exact same thing in their, you know, even their apartment, like your apartment may look exactly like theirs, but outside of that apartment, it's like they could be floating underwater, or they could be, you know, out in space, or they could be, you know, covered in lava. Like, it just happened to be that the reason they're almost the other way around, like you sort of took free will as someone has control. And I kind of took the view of free will as like, this is just actually what's happening. It's like, it is that view of like the grand mechanical clock.
Yeah, I guess.
So how do you view it then?
Yeah, because I think that was also what I was trying to wonder, because if it's just that that's the grand mechanical clock, it's like, I guess, I don't know, it'd be interesting. I don't know if I'd like, I guess now, and I guess supposedly in the scenario, I don't know about this idea. So it's like, I would just be like, I'd like to see this, what I'm doing now, but outside it's underwater. That'd be really cool. Like, I just want to see that.
You're
like,
just in it for the Instagram filters.
No, because it's like, I don't know. I don't visit underwater. I don't. I'm afraid of scuba diving. I'd like to see underwater just by.
Are you that's really?
My. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's like, yeah, that one. It's like the bends freak me out enough that it's like, yes, obviously you don't just plunk you in the water with no training. They would train me and all that. But that one, I think that would. It's like, it's.
I believe. By the way, correct me if I'm wrong, everyone. Bill, I think you have to get into some pretty advanced scuba diving to start to get the bends.
Well, yeah, no, but it's not like I'm afraid of the water. It's like, I'm not afraid of water, but like the level of like, hey, do you want to do scuba diving? I'm like, I am good. It's just that one is, it's never, that's never been one of the ones that I've wanted to do. And obviously, like in some of the TV shows, they love focusing on the negative aspects, but just, it's never been one that I'm like, I'm good. I feel like it's like claustrophobia and water and pressure. And it's just like, I've got maybe in the life term bucket list, it's somewhere on the list, but not in the top 100.
So this is the danger of me and Bill talking. I'm going to go into a movie hole and everyone's just going to have to deal with it. Okay. Do you remember that Cuba Gooding Jr. movie where he was a bell diver for the military?
I know it. I don't think I've seen it, but
That with him and Robert De Niro.
Yes. Yeah. That was the poster I was thinking of.
I think it's called Men of Honor or something.
That sounds
And that movie is crazy. And I have not seen that for a long time. I would love to rewatch that. I was so into that movie when that was on the air. Oh, my goodness. When that was on in theaters. Would you ever bell dive?
I don't know. No. I think it just gets also... In my life, I can swim, but swimming's never been like my major, like, this is, if you put me in water, I'm my happy place. I can.
Are you just not a water person in general?
I love beaches. I do love going in the water, but it's like, I remember your view on beaches. I enjoy them, but it's also because I think it's because it's a select, there are select days out of the year that like I will go to said water feature, but it's not like a regular, like, oh man, I need to be in water at least one third of my year. It's like, I know I'll be at a beach.
Can I tell you, this is where I belong, on an alien fucking planet. That's even weirder to me that you don't want to go in the water. I don't understand. Then just go to Home Depot and lay on the sand. I don't understand what it is people get in the beach, and I'm fine not getting it. It's crazy.
I will always get in the water. No, I'm saying, like, when I go to the beach, I'm going
your biggest fear.
It's not my biggest fear. It's just like, it's one of those that it's like, it's not like my, like, it's like, I like doing surface level water stuff. It's not like, I don't need to, how deep can I go? I'm not like, how deep can I go? Just throw me out in the middle of like, let's go on a boat and let's jump in water. It's like that, if there's a certain depth to it, I start freaking out. Like, I'll like it and I'll swim around, but it's like, I will freak out. So it's like, I like shallower. But if I go to the beach, I'm going there to go in the water. Like, I'm not one that just to lay out on the sand. Like, I will go there to go to the water, but it's not like, how far can we go? Let's get a speedboat, go out to the center of the ocean. It's like, because I'm too afraid that I'm going to look just tasty enough that I get eaten. So,
is that really it?
Part of it was,
jokes
yeah.
aside, yeah.
Part of it was because I think early on when I was little, when I go visit my grandparents, they had friends that had a pool, and it always had, they had just, it was like literally like templates of fish on parts of the pool. And I would never,
but that's freaky.
No, but I would never want to swim there. So I think it was because we would go there like from ages when I can remember, early threes to like six. It'd be like, nope, always avoid the fish area because it's gonna freak me out. So as I got older, it's like, well, let's avoid the major fish area. And for some reason, I was told about jellyfish at the most impressionable age, that it was like, if you squish jellyfish, they can sting you. You, like, I guess worst case scenario, you could die. So 6-year-old brain was, I will die all the time. So it's like, I don't want to go too much deeper because then there might be a creature that will just bump past you. Do they actually care about you? No, but in my like, easily freak outable nature was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna, yeah, no, this is, I'm gonna freak out. So it's like, I like having like a controlled, like, yeah, I want to go super deep. I'll go like deep as in like, occasionally it's like, hey, you might want to come back a little bit, but not like, there was a time recently we went out in a boat and actually swam out there. And I was like, all right, I can do this for a solid 5 minutes. And then I would want to get back in. Then I maybe jump back out, but then I want to go back in. Like I can't, if it's like super deep, I start getting nervous.
There are two things that I agree with you about this too, because it's like, there's two things in the world that people just try to mention casually as if like they're not dangerous, like the woods and the ocean. And people try and make it seem like these are great places to hang out. It's like, statistically, they're where you get eaten by jaguars and sharks.
Yeah.
Like, and people are like, well, sharks don't eat people. It's like, okay.
Yeah, but sea jaguars do. No.
Sea jaguars do. Little flippers on them. Big cats are very good at swimming. People forget that. Tigers are some of the fastest land mammals in water. Mm-hmm. Here's my thing about it. Like, jelly, and this is the essence of what I'm talking about. Jellyfish and poison ivy, just alone, people pretend like that's not a huge deal to run into frequently in the ocean and forest. And people are just like, oh yeah, like it doesn't matter. It just like gets on you and gives you a horrible rash for a few weeks. It's like that. I don't have that because I live in society. This is my ongoing, Bill, I love animals in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And my opinion is, leave animals in nature the fuck alone.
Yeah.
You're not loving nature by having nature in your house or going out into it. The forest is where creatures live. The ocean is where creatures live. We don't have society there. It's not your home. I'm not against the ocean or the forest because statistically, that's where creatures that love living their life and being violent animals live all the fucking time. And it's like, this is like the essence of hack thought that we can dwell on for a little bit here. Is like another, just like aliens, like a whole other series. This annoying hippy dippy, it's not even hippies, it's people that think they're hippies, love of nature. And it's like, no, like loving, like the people that I know where I respect their view of nature is they're like, yeah, camping is dangerous. It's a thing. Like, you need to be prepared for anything. Like that whole, you know, woodsman attitude. You've met those people. The guy that wears cargo shorts and the carabiner. Me and Bill are intimately friends with these guys. you know, or gals, you know. They have the carabiner on even though it's a Christmas party at, you know, at a formal occasion. They're like, well, wait, what do you have the carabiner? Well, you might not know. Never know when you need a carabine. Never. But they, in their world, you might need a carabine. And I love them for that. That person is not crazy to me. That person is actually like being normal for the hobby they want, which is hanging out in the woods where creatures kill each other every day. Like, let's be clear.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what happens in the forest outside of you taking your fun little hike. Every creature is trying to murder each other. That's all they're doing. Murder or fuck each other.
Yeah.
And guess what? Sometimes they murder each other in order to fuck each other. So it's like, I love nature in the sense that I know exactly what's going on there. And that is murder fuck town. Same in the ocean. In the ocean, they just murder. It's so casual, the death. They just die and kill and eat each other. It's crazy. And so it's like, I hate this thing of like, oh, I love being outdoors. You shouldn't. There should be a natural, you should be evaluating, like, check your privilege is what I'm saying. Like, the forest isn't fun. That's why we built society. And then, like, now this is like an angry stand-up routine at this point, but I'll keep going. Then people will have a fucking tree. And it's like, oh, I can't cut the tree down because that's cutting down the forest. It's like, no, it's not. Like, it's not. It's not the forest. It's your house. You have a Kia right next to your forest. You have your little tree and then your Kia. That's not where the forest lives. The forest and the Kias cannot exist simultaneously in the same environment. A Kia must live in a forest-free environment. It's ridiculous that people will be like, well, I have my, you're destroying nature. It's this whole love of lawns, love of plants in your home. It's like, all right, well then let the rats run around because they want to live here for sure. Let squirrels in your house. That's who wants to thrive there. Put some crows in your attic. Well, that's different. It's not different. Like, literally, you can go into every city and destroy every piece of plant life, and you will never affect plant life. Like, and then it becomes this thing of like, I'm against nature or conservationism because I don't think you need a lawn. It's like, no, I'm trying to get people to stop. Like, do you know how much like people that actually destroy habitable lands, like how much they're taking down? It's not, you could literally add up every single city. And I'm talking even the piddly diddly cities, you know, yeah. East Fumblewuck, you know, it won't affect nature. You're talking about thousands of acres that, like, we're trying to protect.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's insane to me. It's insane. It's same with the ocean. I love going to the beach. Aren't there sometimes jellyfish? Well, yeah, but it's fun. Isn't there a riptide? Can't you get pulled out? It's fun. I like surfing. Don't people, like, get concussions and die from that? I'm having fun, please. Hate it. Hate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's somewhere where people fear. Man built its entire existence on this is dangerous. How do we make ourselves safe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I don't get why I'm the weird one for being like, and you're the weird one for being like, ocean's pretty scary. And people are like, oh, you have a fear of water? No, I have a fear of a wild, untamed environment that we are pretending to have fun in.
Yeah, I have fear of being a creature, yeah, that's not designed to exist in this area. Clearly proving how well it's not designed to exist in this area.
I love this one, too. Like, you have this fear of getting eaten, which is, like, not ridiculous for any living creature to feel. By the way, it's much more inherent than a lot of things that people say are inherent, which I don't like. I have this, I can talk about that a different time. There was this great quote from Love on the Spectrum. And, like, they were talking about, like, how you don't really understand society. You're just good at mimicking what other people have done, which is awesome. It's a much more base-level fear that's natural to be like, I'm afraid of being out in open water because I think I'll get eaten. Than it is to be like, just have fun at the beach. Like, that's more built into your DNA to be like, I'm worried I'm going to get eaten. Like, you could be worried about that whenever. I'm going to be like, yeah, that's what animals feel. It's like they were worried they're going to get eaten. And then people will be like, well, the sharks aren't interested in you. It's like, okay. But on a good day when I'm at the beach, I see a nice little friendly fish, right? It's like, yes. Okay, the shark's interested in the fish, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. The shark doesn't give a shit about eating the fish right near me, does it? It's like, no. It's like, that's not safe. That's like being like, oh, well, yes, we're a gang and we're going to have a gunfight in your neighborhood, but we don't want to kill you.
Yeah.
Like, we're just shooting each other. Calm down.
Yeah. With sharks, like, even in, like, I think I've heard some stories where it's like, they'll do a test bite. Like, they'll be like, do I want that bite? Ah, no, that tastes like garbage. That bite still sucks.
That's
like,
your whole life.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I don't want
your whole life's ruined.
I don't want the test bite. Like, I'm even sure a shark's not going to eat me, but I don't want a test bite of like, what is this dangly thing? Is that food? I mean, I don't know. Every other time I'm over here, there's food over here. So by process of elimination, this is probably food. Let's at least, all right, let's check it out. I don't know if I like
you
that
know,
taste.
We could have a whole other one about food, you know, because I made telephone dieting, but I still have so much more to say. There is this attitude of people in the modern era where we could do vegetarian and veganism, where it's a good moral question. Like we talked about, see our last episode about bath towels being alive. But there's this attitude, like, towards certain animals where it's like, well, if those pesky sharks weren't around, all those fish would just be able to thrive and live their life because those damn sharks are so violent eating them. And it's like, no, they're all eating and killing each other.
Yeah.
There are, like, almost no plant-eating animals in the ocean. Like, they all eat something. So every creature is out there being, like, violent towards another creature in the ocean. It's really rare. There's not a lot of plant life in the ocean.
Also, yeah, I wasn't giving any animosity toward the shark. That's literally a shark being a shark if it was to bite me testing for
no,
food.
I wasn't
yeah.
saying that, okay, but it's okay, like, cool. We only count, like, I know you knew that, but it's like, there's this attitude outside of this where people are just like, we only count the big predators as something that's a problem. It's like, like most snakes are going to eat rats, not you. But yeah. If a rat goes past you, a rodent goes past you in the forest, and then a snake devours and attacks it, like, that's not a good time. And guess what? Snakes be doing that all the time mm-hmm. in the forest. So it's like, there's this whole weird attitude that's like, oh, it's just a fish. That fish eats smaller fish. It's not like, people are like, they're all just plecos. They all just, you put them in your tank and they just suck at the bottom. You know, fish food. Okay. Fish food is dried up dead animal. And we actually bought, like, it's dead live meat. You're feeding them dried up meat. That's what that smell is. It's like intense beef jerky. Like, they only eat. That's why literally people, it's just like, I hate this idea that loving animals means like changing their nature to being cuddly.
Yeah.
And it infuriates me in this way that I can't describe. Like, we there's a whole business of making fish lures that wriggle because fish are only interested in killing stuff. So if they see a piece of something in the water that looks like it's alive, so great is their interest in it that despite it having a piece of metal jammed in its head, they'll eat it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, the freakiest part of, like, is my family went through a phase of owning a lot of, like, lizards, and the freakiest part of the herp fairs, like the lizard fairs, is the sections of just the freezers with frozen mice and rats in them, which is just the inevitability that you need to accept if you get, like, a certain size lizard. It's like, yeah, that's their food. If you don't want it, and sometimes you can be lucky where they'll accept a frozen one. Technically, you should give it to them live. So it's like, yeah, you need to get over that notion if you want to, yeah, own this creature that's designed to, that's what I want to do. I don't want to live in this tank. I want to be looking for this thing in real life. And it's like,
I want to be in this tank and I want someone to just easily bring me prey that will just flop in front of me.
Yeah, it's like, that's what I could kind of accept. Like, I liked owning a Knowles just because at least they only ate crickets. And technically it's the same logic. And it just means my brain was able to be like, well, I guess I consider crickets low enough life that I don't consider them alive, which is like, what does that mean about? That's a whole other
thing. Right. And that circles back to the whole thing of this whole question, which is like, what is this other creature, or do you relate to it just because it moves the same way? That's where I thought we would go. Do you relate to the creature that is doing the same interdimensional thing? Do you right away, as post-analysis in my psychology paper here, you right away decided they have the same level of consciousness as you?
Yeah, I guess I did. No, that is fair. I guess I did. And I think it's because I don't, if it's a different level of consciousness creature, I guess I don't even know how to know what I would feel. Because it's like, I don't know what it would be like if there is a cricket in another dimension doing what would be in this kind of spatial existence. It's like, I guess I don't even know. I don't even know what to think. Yeah. Because it's just like, I don't know. I don't know enough about a lower level existence creature, not lower level, but differently leveled existence creature to be like, oh.
Thank you. I'm getting all those letters from crickets.
Yeah. It's trust me, the cricket community.
I'll end it with this one story. So Steak, my ferret who recently passed, people ask about him, so I'll say it on the show. I will do anything for my animals. I don't care. If I get an animal, I'm going to feed it what it needs.
Yeah.
And that, to me, like, it's my, like, the pet is my life and I'll do whatever for it. So there is no expense. There's nothing. I will only take in a pet that I can afford every expense it needs. Like, the animal has a smaller home. It should not live without. So one of the things was they eat, they do, you know, the name for ferrets is in the category of Mustelidae, which in Latin means mouse killer. So they eat mice. It's this whole genre of animals that eat mice. And I was like, okay, let's look into this whole mice thing. And the only reason I didn't was because to the mammals, I didn't really like the interacting with humans implication of the raw food.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think, it didn't seem incredibly safe to me. It seemed like you needed a reliable source that was like almost medical. And I didn't like, it didn't seem healthy. And I managed to get him like a pure meat food as a pedantic thing. Cause they are, teach you more about animals, obligate carnivores, which means they cannot eat anything that isn't meat. So I went to, when I was researching this, I went to a guy at a pet store, and I was asking him about, oh, like, how, you know, I want to see if this is a thing that I could buy for them, for him, and feed him these what are called pinkies, these frozen dead mice.
The baby mice, yeah.
Yeah, they're frozen dead, I believe fetal mice, right? I don't know what the deal is. I think they're like literally just born or stillborn.
Yeah, I think it's just born mice, yeah, because they haven't grown their hair yet.
So the idea being that you can create, breed, and make this stock of food for animals by just taking them down. And I was like, well, how will he know that it's food? And he just like looked at me and he's like, oh, they know it's food. That was all he said. He just like looked at me like I was the most naive motherfucker in the world and was like, trust me, they will know it's food. Trying to evoke this thing of like, they will devour this dead animal. Like the animal instinct will kick in right away and they will destroy this piece of meat. So anyway, your dog would do the same. Hey everyone, remember, cats and dogs will eat you when you die in your home. Not a question, fact. This has been Hack Thought. That's going to be my new spay and neuter your pets, Bill. They'll eat you. It's not a question. It's not a question. They will eat you. Anyway, enjoy the rest of your jog or whatever your thing is. I'm just going to go for a jog in the woods. Don't! We invented treadmills to have lovely Alton Brown on the TV when you jog on a treadmill. I just love being in the forest. What, are you going to fall and get necrotizing fasciitis? Like my partner is afraid of in anything bigger than a cup of water. She will get necrotizing. It's okay to be afraid of the wilderness. It's called wild. You've been
wasting time and money entering film festivals. Let's change that.
I haven't been wasting my time. I mean, I am broke. And all I got was a PNG of a Laurel.
The Liket Film Festival uses people with an audience to help poor dummies like that get actual exposure for their films.
Stop calling me dumb.
Entering the Liket Film Festival allows influencers to spread the word on your films. If you enter other festivals, you are dumb.
Seriously, I'm not dumb.
I don't speak dumb. But if I did, I would tell that guy that winning films and podcasts will be featured on our Rizzle, TikTok, and Instagram channels that total in the hundreds of thousands of fans watching.
I'm not dumb. One time I used a toothbrush in the wrong direction, but that has nothing to do with my film career.
Enter your films into the world's largest film festival today, Liket Film Fest.